This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 7:16. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Sharmila and Lynn. And with all the drama focused around Parliament and the Istana, we wanted to look at how these national developments are impacting and will be impacted by decisions made in Sabah and Sarawak.
A lot of discussions actually ongoing around this. So if we look at just some of the statements that have come out, Star President Datuk Dr. Jeffrey Ketingan said that Sabah and Sarawak have been treated as mere spectators in Putrajaya's politics, and that ultimately the people of the two states need to have a say in terms of deciding how this is going to, what future is going to happen, right? And he also urged for Sabah and Sarawak to push for the reinstatement of state and financial rights from the federal government. And he said that actually Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin's administration represents the best hope, saying that he has been the most accommodating prime minister when it comes to Sabah and Sarawak rights. And I think in some ways that's what you would expect to hear from in terms of where it is that STAR is aligned.
And in a larger political sense, while it often becomes easy for those of us in the peninsula to overlook the impact of Sabah and Sarawak when it comes to our politics, actually, it's been proven time and again that a lot of the machinations that happen in Putrajaya have rely a lot on voters and politicians and parties in East Malaysia, right? And I think we see that in the most obvious sense now with reports that the opposition is offering Dato' Sri Shafiq Abdal as Deputy Prime Minister for the Deputy Prime Minister post, potentially speaking. And the Free Malaysia Today reported that front runners for Prime Minister from the opposition side might in fact be Dato' Sri Anwar Ibrahim or Shafiq Abdal.
Well, in fact, I think, to be very clear, Warisan said that they will support Anwar Ibrahim, but that if he fails in his bid to get a majority, that they would expect the same report, the same support back for Shafiq Abdal.
Yes, so some very interesting developments, and really this question of where Sabah and Sarawak politics come into the federal issues. So we'd like to hear from you. Send your thoughts our way. You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Now joining us to discuss this further is Dr. Firdausi Sufian, who is a political economist at UITM Sabah. Firdausi, thank you for being with us.
Hi Lynn and Shamila. How are you guys doing?
We're doing well, thank you. Start off with, what is the Perikatan National Government's track record when it comes to Sabah and Sarawak?
Well, if you look at Perikatan National Government track record, comes to Sabah and Sarawak, it's number one. Well, Sabah just had an election last year, all right? And then Sarawak is going to have elections after February 2022. So if you look at the track record, of course, there's a lot of promises, especially for Sabah. Why is that? Because the ruling coalition is the chief minister who had the ruling coalition is Bersatu. Of course, there's a lot of things have been promised. Like for instance, if you look at from policy on paper, you can see that Sabah, Sarawak receive a considerable amount of development budget for 2021. Sabah received 5 billion, Sarawak received around 4.5 billion, if I'm not mistaken. So, the Jendela program, Sabah received the highest, in fact, which is 2.6 billion. And of course, all these on paper, yeah. And another one is that the sales tax for oil and gas. If you still remember that Sarawak won the case, which they have to pay, Petronas have to pay 5%. That's equivalent to 2.5 billion. And then after that, after the court case, and then the Muhyiddin Yassin say, and then he told the deputy chief minister of Sabah and also the chief minister of Sabah that Sabah will get that 5% tax as well. So, and of course, there are thousands of development programs announced early this year, including poverty eradication program. And they also say that under the Pakatan National Government, they said that they're going to have a special chapter for Sabah and Sarawak under the 12th Malaysian Plan. So I guess these are some of the track record, which on paper right? Because we have to factor in, you know, the crisis that we have currently, health crisis, economic crisis. I guess things to kickstart or to carry out some of the project might probably slow, right? And then yeah, basically those are the track record. When it comes to implementation, we have yet to see that. And then, of course, when it comes to Sabah and Sarawak rights as well, so they set up the Sabah and Sarawak Affairs Department headed by Maximus Onkili. So this is also another track record. And, well, I guess that's it so far on the paper. When it comes to implementation, I guess it's still not so, not really that, we can't really see much progress yet.
And how will the Prime Minister's resignation and all these subsequent meetings and discussions and negotiations impact the political landscape in East Malaysia?
This is the tricky part, because Sabah and Sarawak politics, right, the local politics is pretty much influenced by the national politics. So changes in national politics would definitely influence the dynamic of the state politics, especially in Sabah. Sarawak, because because it's pretty much a local based party who actually formed the ruling coalition. So they just have to be practical in a way that, you know, whoever formed the coalition in federal government, they just, you know, pledge their support. But for Sabah, it's a bit different. Now, even though, you know, Bong Mukhtar say that, you know, he doesn't give his support Mudin Yassin to become the prime minister, but will continue the support for Datuk Seri Haji Jee as the chief minister. Well, because of the unique configurations of UMNO autonomy, where, you know, the head of UMNO in Sabah have the right to say on so many things. But all this really depends on what's going to happen next, in the next few days, who will form political party. Who will form the ruling coalition. So there are so many possibilities here, all right? So if Bersatu is still in the government, assuming, because we really don't know what's going to happen, all right? Well, the GRS, the Gabungan Rakyat Sabah, might probably still intact. Now, if Bersatu is no longer in the in the ruling coalition anymore, so this is where, you know, you cannot discount the factor of frog leaping again, right? Because as you all know, you know, in Sabah, it's nothing to be proud of. In fact, you know, for the past few elections, we can see that there's a lot of changes of government because of switching allegiance. Now it depends. So if Bersatu, the PPN, no longer government, say Bersatu, for instance, so this might probably will change the domestic politics. And this is the problem, because in Sabah, we just had an election, all right? So we just have our Sabah Maju Jaya plan, where they want to carry out, you know, for the recovery plan, for economic development, and as well as the decentralization between the federal state in terms of administrations, right? So if change in national politics, and this will change again, right? So they will not implement something that have been planned by GRS. Right, so the new government will come up with a different policy. It probably will be good. We don't know, but of course they will not continue the policy, because based on most of the projection with the SMJ, Sabah Maju Jaya, it is expected that Sabah GDP will grow 5%, because currently, you know, we recorded the lowest, it's 9.5%. So with those projects, with those plans, with those recovery, they say that they will, kickstart the economy again. So that is why I say national politics play a very important role, because, you know, the configurations of our federal state relations pretty much is centralized. So this one would definitely affect the dynamic of local politics and also economic policy implementation.
So now there are talks, of course, that Dato Sri Shafi Abdal may be an opposition prime minister candidate, or that he might be a candidate for deputy prime minister if Warisan throws their support behind Anwar Ibrahim. What do you make of all of this?
Well, this is very interesting. I mean, for Shafi Abdal, his name to be prime minister, it was nothing new because it was proposed by Tun Dr. Mahathir previously. Right. So it's good for both, whether it is opposition prime minister or as a deputy prime minister, because if it's an opposition prime minister, then it shows that, you know, Warisan is not just a local party, but rather a national party, which is in line with their motto, you know, unity. So Shafi Abdal can, you know, advance. So, because Shafi Abdal, as you all know, that he's a senior politician and he's a well-respected figure. When he was in UMNO, even in Sabah, you know, he was a former chief minister. He's been in politics like, what, 3 decades plus, close to 4, right? So he might probably, yes, can't. He has some credibility there if he becomes a positioned prime minister or even the deputy prime minister candidate now. But there's one thing that we really have to, you know, unpack here. If you become deputy prime minister or even prime minister, right? We don't know. So the Sabahan will have, you know, high expectation that, look, if he is the deputy prime minister, then that will be the first time in the history of Malaysia that we have an East Malaysian candidate who hold that post. But this does not mean that, you know, it can bring miracle growth to Sabah. You know, it doesn't mean that, you know, can change the royalty, oil royalty from 5% to 50% or 20%. That's what he said last time. It's not something straightforward, because we got to be very clear is that, you know, our political dynamic is different now. You know, the institution, the political institution, the power is no longer like last time, you know, if you could still remember during Mahathir 1.0. Now, even for, you know, during Pakatan Harapan time, when Prime Minister Tun Dr. Mahathir, when he wants to implement a lot of things, he was constrained as well because the power is distributed to a lot of political parties. So for them to carry out something, so there are a lot of compromise they have to do. Now, so if he is the deputy prime minister, yes, that's something good, all right, but that does not mean that it will bring miracle growth to Sabah. But one thing is that what he can do is that, you know, he can set up a proper mechanism, because this Sabah-Sarawak or federal state relation between the East Malaysia and between the Sabah-Sarawak and also Putrajaya is a perennial problem, all right? He has been there for a long time already. So perhaps he can come up with a more proper mechanism. Look, number one, this is what I want to do. Number two, this is what I want to do. Very clear. It's not just simply autonomy. Okay, what sort of autonomy are you talking about? All right. You got to break it down. What sort of a decentralization that you want? It's not just simply, you know, or declare wilaya. Then, oh, look, you're a region now. It doesn't mean anything. It doesn't carry any way. So these are the things that, you know, we got to be very careful. We got to be very cautious, or especially for Sabahan, when they thought that, you know, deputy prime minister post given to Shafi Abdal. Wow. Okay, it's big, but we got to think more critically on that.
Firdausi, thank you for speaking with us today.
All right. Thank you.
That was Dr. Firdausi Sufian, political economist at UiTM Sabah, speaking to us about really the response from the East Malaysian side of politics and what we can see in coming days. So you've been listening to the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.